Good morning. Every time I make that last step, I think there's going to come a time when I'm just going to go all the way through that step. So far, so good. It's good to see everyone out this morning. I'll add Missy's sister, Tracy. She's going to have arm surgery tomorrow in Nebraska, so keep her in your prayers as well. And as I said, it's good to see everyone here this morning, or if you're joining us online. We do want you to know that we're happy that you're here, and we appreciate you. And of course, if there's anything that we can do for you as a church family, let us know. This series that we're going to start this morning is on spiritual discipline. And so I want to start with just asking a question. How do you evaluate your spiritual well-being? And know that nobody ever comes up to you and really asks, how's your walk with the Lord? How's your spiritual well-being? How's your relationship with God? I know nobody ever comes right out and asks you that. But do you ever stop and ask yourself that? How's my relationship with the Lord? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? How would I even go about evaluating such a thing? How would I go about evaluating on a scale from 1 to 10 how well I'm doing spiritually speaking? How full of the Holy Spirit are you? Is the word of Christ dwelling in you richly? Can the fruits of the Spirit be found in you? How would you go about evaluating your spiritual well-being? Well, I think the answer to that is very similar to how you evaluate your physical well-being. Well, how do you do that? Well, for me, I can fool myself into thinking my physical well-being is a lot better than it actually is. When I'm sitting on the couch and watching TV and eating a bag of Cheetos, I feel like my physical well-being is still pretty good. I feel like I'm pretty good. But when I go outside and maybe I walk up here to the building, I realize pretty quickly that my physical well-being is not that great. I'm out of breath, and I realize that it's just not as good as I thought. The way that you evaluate your physical well-being is testing. When you are tested, when you have to run or jog. Now, if you see me running or jogging, it's probably because I'm being chased and you should stop and pick me up. But when you run or jog or you lift something heavy or you do something hard, then you find out how well you are doing. And the same is true for our spiritual well-being. We evaluate our spiritual well-being through testing. And so here's what I want us to think about for a second. Testing reveals spiritual deficiencies and bolsters our spiritual strengths. And again, just think about that for a second. Testing reveals our spiritual deficiencies and it bolsters our spiritual strengths. In James, chapter 1, he talks about testing our faith, and he says to count it all joy, that maturity comes from the testing of our faith, that the testing of our faith is a good thing. When our faith is tested, when we go through various trials, we should, as James says, consider it all joy because it bolsters our spiritual strengths. The testing of our faith, it bolsters our spiritual strength, but it also reveals our spiritual deficiencies. Just like if I were to go and try and run a mile or possibly just try to run down to that door, it would reveal my physical deficiencies. When we go through a trying time, when our faith is tested, it too reveals our spiritual deficiencies. And right now, I think as a country, as a world, as a community, as a church, as families, as individuals, our faith is being tested. No matter where you fall socially or politically, no matter what you think about this or that, the chances are that you have felt over this last year like your faith is being tested. And there is a certain degree in which we can give thanks that our faith is being tested because we know that it is bolstering our spiritual strength. It's making us stronger Christians, more mature people, because our faith is being tested. But again, it also reveals our spiritual deficiencies. And I don't know about you, but over the last, I don't know, however long, this testing of my faith has shown some of my spiritual deficiencies. I am not as patient as I should be, and this season of pandemic and everything going on has revealed my lack of patience. It's also showed to be my addiction to the sense of control. I like to feel like I'm in control. I don't like feeling like I'm not in control. But none of us through this crisis have felt like we were in control. We've all realized that we are really not. And it has revealed a spiritual deficiency in me. I think if you're on social media, if we spend any time around other people, then we recognize that this crisis is revealing spiritual deficiencies in a whole lot of us. Anger, fear, bitterness, criticism, jealousy, saying and doing things that if we're not careful, can end and destroy relationships. Crisis, trial, testing, it can strengthen. It can bolster our spiritual strengths, but it also reveals our spiritual deficiencies. So what are we going to do with that? Well, we're going to have to learn that during this period of testing, what we need to work on and allow it to do its work. But here's something that I want us to realize, that there's also going on, that there are things that we can do intentionally to test our faith. Because again, this crisis that we're going through right now, it came unexpectedly. None of us wanted to be part of this COVID time. It wasn't in our plans. Nobody asked for it, but it came anyway, didn't it? And your life and my life is going to have all kinds of those seasons, those times that pop up that are going to be unintentional, unprovoked time of testing. But spiritual disciplines are intentional ways to test your faith. Spiritual disciplines are intentional ways to train our faith. Spiritual disciplines are like going for a run on purpose. And again, if somebody were to chase me, that would be an unintentional testing of my physical well-being. But if I were to choose to go on a run right now, that would be an intentional training or testing of my physical well-being. And that's how spiritual disciplines are. And that's what we're going to talk about over my next few lessons, is that these spiritual disciplines that are intentional testings of our faith, and that they do the same thing that unintentional trials do. They reveal both our spiritual deficiencies and they bolster our spiritual strengths. But be warned, when you practice these things that we will talk about, solitude, giving in secret and fasting and meditation and the things that we talk about from Matthew chapter 6, be warned, they will reveal your spiritual deficiencies. They will reveal to us how much we are addicted to control and to pleasure and to the approval of others, but they will also help us draw closer to God. If I want to be prepared for someone chasing me and not getting winded, if I want to be prepared, then I need to intentionally test my physical well-being. I have to go for runs. And if you want to be able to go through crisis or hardship and come out on the other side stronger, then there are times in your life you have to practice these spiritual disciplines. So are we ready to talk about some spiritual exercises, some spiritual tests and trials and practices, and be intentional about disciplining our faith, disciplining yourself for godliness? I think these things will help us draw closer to God. So let's start Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus speaking again. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." And I want us to pay special attention to that phrase, practice your righteousness. I would guess that most of us go through a whole week or month or year or years or maybe our whole entire lives without ever talking about practicing our righteousness. What does that mean, to practice your righteousness? Well, of course, Matthew, who wrote this gospel account, he's writing in Greek, but Matthew and Jesus and everyone to whom Jesus was talking to in the Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew's original audience were Jewish people. And so they thought in Jewish terms. They thought in Hebrew terms. That's why I like here from the Jewish Complete Bible. It puts it this way. It says, "Be careful not to parade your acts of tzedakah in front of people in order to be seen by them." Try saying that word, tzedakah. To say that, it's kind of fun to say. It's an interesting Hebrew word that Jesus says not to practice your righteousness or not parade your acts of tzedakah in front of people in order to be seen by them. So what does that phrase mean? Acts of tzedakah, or practicing your righteousness. Well, I've read a whole lot this week on that word tzedakah. And this is what I can come up with what it means. If you were to take 1,000 Hebrew speakers and translate this word to English, 500 of those people would say that the word is justice. And then the other 500 would say that the word is charity. So how can a word be both translated as justice or charity? In English, those words are very different, charity and justice. If I had $100 bill, and if you asked me for $100 and I gave it to you, if I already owed you that $100 and I gave it to you, that would be justice. I would be doing what is right. I owed you $100 and I paid it back. It's rightfully yours. It's fair and it's just for me to give it to you. It belongs to you. That is justice. But if you ask me for $100 and I don't owe it to you and I give it to you anyway, that's charity. In English, something is either charity or it's justice. But it can't really be both, can it? When someone works for something or owns for something and they get what belongs to them, we call that justice. We call that fairness. It belongs to them. But if someone gets something that doesn't really belong to them, if someone gives something to someone else, we call that charity. Again, in English, the ideas are very different, but in Hebrew, they are almost one and the same. Tzedakah. It is both charity and justice. How can something be both of those? Well, I think if you realize the biblical way of thinking about God's covenant people, if you think with that kind of mindset, then you realize that nothing really belongs to you. Everything belongs to God. When you give money to someone, you give money that to someone. It's God's money that you are giving to them. You are partnering with God, and that's what God's covenant people are supposed to do. Covenant with God to be God's partners in the world, to help make the world be a more fair and more equitable place. When we give money away, we are doing justice. We are doing righteousness. We are doing charity. And Jesus says for the apostles, for anyone who thinks with a biblical mindset, you realize that if I give $100 that I haven't given my money, I've shared with you the money that God has blessed me with and to make me a steward of. So therefore, you can do both justice and charity. Practice tzedakah. Practice doing righteousness, doing fairness, doing justice, doing charity. And here's the warning of what Jesus says. He says, be careful. And any time that Jesus says, be careful, you need to realize that there's an inherent danger here. That there is an inherent danger in practicing tzedakah, in practicing righteousness. That there is a danger in being charitable, that you do it for the wrong reasons. Jesus says, be careful that you don't do it in order to be seen, in order that you might be seen by them. Look at verse 2. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do. That word, hypocrites, it's the same word in the Greco-Roman world as an actor, as a stage actor of that time. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward. The Pharisees, essentially, Jesus is sort of calling them religious actors, religious hypocrites. The Pharisees, the religious people of Jesus' day, they made a big show out of doing tzedakah, out of doing righteousness, out of doing justice. They would make a big deal out of them partnering with God to make the world a more equitable place. They would say things like, we're partnering with God to do what is right and fair, to give to the needy, to distribute what God has given to us, to give to those in need, to lift them up that they may have a better standing in the world. But Jesus says, that's not really their intention. Their intention really isn't tzedakah. Their intention really isn't righteousness. Their intention isn't justice or fairness. Their intention is to be praised by others. Look at what he says, that they may be praised. That is their intention. It isn't to practice righteousness. Their intention was to be praised for practicing righteousness. Do you see the difference there? Their intention isn't to practice righteousness or justice or fairness. Their intention is to be seen practicing those things, to be applauded and be appreciated for practicing those things. And there is a vast difference between the two. And we have to stop and recognize that we have that same temptation as well. Social media has made it easy to take credit for everything. To raise our hand and say, hey, I do good things. I'm on God's side. I'm a good person. I'm all about fairness and justice. I want very much to be seen by everyone, to be praised and applauded for doing the right thing. And there's nothing wrong with doing the right thing. In fact, there's nothing wrong with being seen doing the right thing. But there is something wrong in doing it in order to be seen by others. Maybe you've heard the story about a turtle one time, and he wanted to get to the ocean, and that ocean was miles away, and the turtle wondered, how am I ever going to get there in a reasonable amount of time? I'm pretty slow, and it's going to be a long, hot crawl. And then it dawned on him. He could take a string, and he could tie it between the legs of a seagull, and the seagull would eventually go to the ocean. And so he does that, and then he clamps down on the string, and the seagull takes off, and they're on their way to the ocean, and they're getting closer and closer. The turtle can see the water, and two people on the sidewalk look up, and they see that turtle, and they said, that's genius. Who thought of that? And that turtle couldn't wait to open his mouth and say, we're just like that turtle a lot of times. They were getting so close to the water, but he had to open his mouth. That's how we are. We have to take credit. And so often we take credit to our own demise. And Jesus says, be careful. Be careful when you practice righteousness, when you practice justice, when you practice fairness, that you're not doing it to be seen by others, because that's what the Pharisees do. They do it to be praised by others. And Jesus says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Now, here's what the temptation is here. I want to stop because the temptation is to say, yep, I know a few people like that, just like that turtle, that are always opening their mouths and taking credit for things. I know people that are always posting and bragging about themselves. But let's hang on. That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about ourselves this morning. We're taking an opportunity to look in the mirror and to realize that with every opportunity to do good, with every opportunity to practice righteousness, fairness, justice, equity, with every opportunity, there is also the opportunity to do it for the wrong reasons. Some of these Pharisees were doing right for the wrong reasons. Their goal wasn't tzedakah. It wasn't righteousness or fairness or justice. Their goal was to be praised by others for doing that righteousness. Verse 3 says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Here's the spiritual discipline. The discipline isn't just giving. The spiritual discipline isn't just serving. It isn't just practicing righteousness. Jesus assumes if you are God's covenant people, you are going to be practicing righteousness. That's not the spiritual discipline. That is a given. If you are God's covenant people, you are going to do good. You are going to seek to make the world a more equitable place. You're going to give to the needy. You're going to do these things. The spiritual discipline here is to do it in secret. Do it anonymously. Do it so secretively that one hand doesn't even know what the other hand is doing. That's the spiritual discipline of secrecy. And then he says, if you practice these things in secret, now again, that doesn't mean there isn't a place for public good works, for good works that are seen by others. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about being a city set on a hill and a light that can't be hidden. And he says that people are going to see you do good deeds and that you are going to, and they are going to give credit to your Father who is in heaven. That it's not to say that there isn't a time for public good works, but it is to say that it is a spiritual discipline to practice secrecy, to practice righteousness in secrecy, to do good works, to give to the needy in secrecy. And then he says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There is great reward for doing the right thing for the right reason, but there is every opportunity to do doing the right thing to do it for the wrong reason. When you do the right thing for the wrong reasons, Jesus says, you've already got your reward. If you do good and you practice righteousness in order to be praised by people, if you do good and practice righteousness for the applause and accolades, when you do that for that reason, you get your reward. That's your reward in and of itself. But Jesus says, if you practice doing good and secretly, so that you know that you are doing this for the right reason, and you are doing what is right because it's the right thing to do, you are doing what's fair because it's the fair thing to do, you're doing what's just because it's the just thing to do, you're not doing it so other people will see you and praise you and applaud you, you're doing it because it's the right thing. And the only way you're ever going to know if you're doing it is to test yourself. Test yourself by doing it in secret. Doing it so that nobody knows that you are doing it. Not even your other hand knows what you are doing. And when you practice this giving and serving in secret, doing tzedakah, righteousness, fairness, justice in secret, he says, then your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What does that mean? Does he mean like eternal reward? Reward in the resurrection? Reward in the age to come? Maybe. Maybe that's part of it. But I think that there's a reward right now in a closer and stronger and better relationship with God. Jesus says, do this. Give secretly, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There is great reward in doing the right thing for the right reasons. When you do good secretly, then you have this secret relationship with God, and God will reward you with a better, stronger, deeper relationship with Him. How about if we put it this way? When we give secretly, we sacrifice the praise of others for the pleasure of God. That's what we are doing when we are being intentional about sacrificing the praise of others. Why? Because as Christians, we know that the pleasure of God is far better to make God happy than to make man happy. And the only way we're going to know for what reason you're doing that is to do it in secret. Do it secretly and intentionally sacrifice the praise of others for the pleasure of God. Do that this week. Let's be intentional in practicing this spiritual discipline. Do righteousness. Practice tzedakah, fairness, justice. Give to the needy this week, and don't Facebook it or Instagram it or drop it casually in the conversation with someone. One of my favorite ones is when somebody posts that they got a free coffee from the car in front of them. But don't worry, I kept it going. You know, I did my part. You know, let's not do that this week. Just do it secretly. And when you have the urge to post it, to tell somebody about it, recognize that urge for the appreciation and the applause and the accolades and the praise of people, and intentionally give it to God. To say, Father, your pleasure is worth far more than the praise of others. Sacrifice. Intentionally sacrifice the praise of others for the pleasure of God by doing secretly. And then imagine in your head, as you sacrifice the praise of others for the pleasure of God, imagine your Father saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And those words can echo in your heart. Because this right here, never heard clapping in a Church of Christ before, have you? But that feels good for about as long as it lasts when somebody claps for you, when they applaud you. But I'll tell you from personal experience, it's addicting and it's shallow And when it's gone, there's almost nothing you would do to get that back. So we do good secretly, and we sacrifice the praise of others for the pleasure of God. And we follow God to break, and we allow God to break our addiction to the approval of people, the appreciation of people. Have you ever felt that way? Like I'm not being appreciated? Why doesn't anybody appreciate me? I've worked so hard for so long. I've done so much. We are addicted to it sometimes. And when we are good and when we do good in secret, it's this opportunity to exercise our spirituality, to exercise our faith, to allow God to break the addiction to the approval and to the applause of others and sacrifice those things to the pleasure of God, to know and to hear and to embrace the words of our Father who says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You did right for the right reasons because you love me and you partnered with me to do good in the world, and that is reward enough." And that reward, the pleasure of our Father is now and is eternal, and it is worth far more, and it will last far longer than any amount of applause man can give us. But before we close, think about this one last thing. During these next few lessons that I give on spiritual disciplines, we're going to be talking about our own personal walk with the Lord. We're going to talk about our own personal faith. We're going to talk about disciplining ourselves for godliness, exercising our faith. We need to realize, though, that we are still connected to the body. Spiritual disciplines are personal practices with both individual and collective benefits. And I'll say that again because I know in 2021 we don't really like that word collectivism, but spiritual disciplines are personal practice with both individual and collective benefits. When I discipline myself for godliness, or you do, or we do the right thing for the right reasons, when you give secretly, when we sacrifice the praise of people for the pleasure of God, when you do those kinds of things, it makes the whole body stronger. Bible study, just as an example. When you study the Bible, that is about your personal relationship to God. But it is also about your connection to me and to your spouse and to your kids and to your neighbors and to your family. And as you get stronger, the whole body gets stronger. Just like your arms or your legs, when one member of the body gets stronger, the whole body gets stronger. And as we practice these things, as we discipline ourselves again for godliness, as we study the scripture, as we give in secret, it makes the whole body stronger. Imagine how strong we can be if we spent time being intentional about testing and disciplining our faith and spirituality, breaking our addiction to control and to pleasure and to the approval of others, and then being drawn closer to the Lord. Imagine if we all worked on ourselves and we all disciplined ourselves, how much stronger the body will be. It doesn't just benefit you. Spiritual disciplines benefit the whole body. The spiritual disciplines that we're going to talk about coming up are personal practices, again, that we practice individually with collective benefits. So let's work on that this week, because as we do, as the whole body gets stronger, then everyone will as well. We are all in this together. This morning, you might find yourself, your faith weak, and that you need the prayers of your brethren here at Colcord. You may not be a Christian, and now is the time to make that decision, to put Christ on in baptism, to be raised up in the newness of life with the promise of a resurrection to come. This morning, if that applies to you, we urge you to come forward, make that known as together we stand and we sing.